God's been so very good to us. Aren't you glad you have a living Savior today? I'm glad He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. Just a few things this morning. Look in the book of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, that means to believe in emptiness. It means that you just have a shallow, really, it's a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you can be saved. But if you just believe in your head, or you believe what somebody else has told you, or you believe you want to be different, or whatever, that's not sufficient. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and accept Him as your Savior. But He said, if you do that, verse number 3, for I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's not the end of His statement. That's the end of my reading right there. That the gospel just simply is this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died, say the word, for our sins. Let's do it again, but this time you say my. He died for my sin. He did that. He died for your sin. That's what the gospel is all about, that He died for your sin, that He was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank God for that. Look over a little bit further in this passage of Scripture, if you will, please, and look in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what He's saying? He said, there's better things coming. You thank God I'm saved. I wouldn't take nothing for being saved. Old Bob Harron used to say, if there was no heaven or hell, I'd still want to be saved for what He's done for me since I got saved. But thank God this is not the end. You can be saved and still have cancer. You can be saved and still have problems. You can be saved and still have problems in your family, in your business, everywhere else. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. But thank God this is not the end. There's more to it. And He said, if in this life only you had hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. But there's more to it than that. He notice what He said in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Thank God for the resurrection. I'm glad He's alive. He died on that cross for me, but He's not still on the cross. He's off the cross. He was put in a tomb, but He didn't stay in the tomb. He's out of the tomb. And thank God He's ascended back to the Father, and He's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. Three quick things about the resurrection. He said this in the Word of God, that it's the resurrection that holds our hope. First of all, I want you to note just briefly this morning the relevance of the resurrection. Is the resurrection important? If you go through the Scriptures in the New Testament and read the New Testament books, you'll find that there's a great emphasis on the cross, but there's an even greater emphasis on the resurrection. Why? Because of the relevance of the cross. It established His deity. This morning, in the morning service, I made reference to that. That He said, I'm king. You destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. And that validates His superiority over death and over the grave. He is God, incarnate human flesh. And my friend, when He came out of that grave, it was a validation that's who He said He was. My dear friend, if He had not come out of the grave, He'd been a liar. If He had not come out of the grave, He'd not been God. But He did. But He said, now is He risen from the grave? Thank God. It's very relevant. If He's not alive, our faith is empty, vain. We're believing a dead prophet. But thank God he's not dead. He's alive. Amen. And I thank God for that. And listen, if he's not who he said he was, and because of the resurrection, I do know this. I know that my loved ones who've already left this world are in heaven. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And he said, listen, if Christ isn't resurrected, those who died are perished. But they didn't perish. Thank God. He said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And he said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. He said the gospel simply in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And thank God, all of that hinges on the resurrection. If he didn't come out of the grave, he's not God. If he didn't come out of the grave, there's no salvation for me and you. If he didn't come out of the grave, there's no resurrection for our loved ones, and there's no rapture for us. But my dear friend, listen, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Thank God there is going to be a rapture because he's alive, because of the resurrection. But now notice not only the relevance of the resurrection, but note this morning, my dear friend, the results of that resurrection. Thank God, what the wonderful results that he categorizes here. Look in your Bible. Go back to the book of Romans and chapter number 10. In this passage of Scripture, all through the book of Romans, beginning at chapter 3, we have a plan, a way of presenting Christ, and it's sometimes called the Roman Road. And it simply states this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's sinned. But then it says this in Romans chapter 3. It says, but the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when you come to chapter 10, here's what really makes the difference. You can say, I believe Jesus he died. I can say, I think he was buried. I believe he rose again. But if you don't ever apply that to your life, if you don't ever come to the place where you accept that personally, that he did it for you, you will not be saved because he died for you. And notice what he said in regard to salvation and the results of the resurrection. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you know, my dear friend, that your eternal salvation hinges on the fact that he came out of that grave, that he was resurrected, that he's alive, and the results of his resurrection is salvation for me and you. And if you've ever been born again, say amen. 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 Because he's alive. He's alive. When I was in school several years ago, I don't recall the men's name, but there were two men, one an atheist, one an agnostic, and they intended to go through the Bible and prove that Jesus Christ, and historically, that Jesus Christ was not God, that he did not die, was not resurrected. And as they begin to go through and as they begin to do research and to look at the drastic change in the lives of people like Paul and Simon Peter and all those in the New Testament, and then as they begin to go through church history, and then as they begin to do current research with those who are followers of Christ now, not only did they believe that Jesus Christ died, not only to believe he was buried and rose again, but having seen all of that, God the Holy Ghost used their research to convince their heart that they were sinners and that they too need to be saved. And they didn't write a book about how to disprove the resurrection. They wrote a testimony about how God saved them when they began. Because you know why? Because he's alive. It's not just some dead theology. It's not just something Baptists have conjured up. My dear friend, he's a living Savior. And my dear friend, when you meet him, you have to acknowledge the fact that he died, was buried, he rose again, and he's alive right now. That's why you don't pray to a preacher. That's why you don't pray to the Pope or anybody else. That's why you approach directly through the throne of grace and you ask Jesus to save you, because he's more real and he's more alive than anybody in this building. And when you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you know he's alive. And you know the sin's penalty has been paid. And you know that he can hear and he can love and he can care, and that he can save. Thank God. The results of the resurrection is my salvation and your salvation. If he hadn't been resurrected, I'd never be saved. You'd never be saved. But thank God for the results of the resurrection, and that is the salvation of believers. But the Bible said this. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And having been resurrected, the Bible said this, that because of all of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. My dear friend, the results of the resurrection is the exaltation of Christ far above all kings, all rulers, all principalities, all power. My dear friend, he's the exalted Christ, the resurrected Christ, the living Savior, and thank God for that. My salvation, his exaltation was included in that resurrection. And then my personal and your personal resurrection. He said, listen, if Christ's not raised, then we don't expect to be resurrected. But he said, if Christ was resurrected, you can count on it. One of these days, you're coming out of that grave. One of these days, you're coming out of that grave. If you'd read further in this book of 1 Corinthians, where I had my text, Paul said, in regard to the resurrection, that body sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. It was sold a mortal body, it'll be raised in immortality. He said it was sown corruptible, but it'll be raised incorruptible. We're coming out of that grave one of these days. That body, our bodies be changed, made like unto his glorious body. And because he lives, we can live also. That's the results of the resurrection. He opened the door for resurrection for me and you. And thank God for that. We're going to have a brand new body one of these days. Now, some of you got arthritis and cancer and first one thing and another. Thank God. Listen, what you're living in now is just an earthen vessel. But one of these days, you have a body without any corruption in it, a body with no mortality to it, not dying, with a body that's perfect and pure like him. My dear friend, because of his resurrection, that's going to happen. And thank God for that. The results of the resurrection is my salvation, his exaltation, our resurrection. But also tied intricately to that truth of the resurrection is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. He told his disciples in John 14, he said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified, but I go to prepare a place for you. As he goes on a little bit further, their hearts were heavy. But he said, listen, understand this. He said, when I've died, I've been resurrected, I'll go to the Father. And he said, I'll send another comforter. That's somebody just like me. And he sent the person of the Holy Spirit of God. My dear friend, if he'd not been resurrected, there'd been no Holy Spirit in this world. And if there'd been no Holy Spirit in this world, there'd be no such thing as conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He came into the world to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And if we never got convicted, and if we never knew that we were lost, we could have never been saved. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And listen, since I got saved, I didn't know anything at all about this book. But since I've been saved, the Holy Spirit of God has been my guide. He's been with me as I've gone through the Word of God. He's led me into the Bible truth. And if you know anything at all about the Bible, it was the Holy Spirit of God that told you. And the reason he showed you that, because Jesus was resurrected. Jesus said, when I get resurrected and go back to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And thank God, tied to the resurrection of Christ is the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And thank God he kept his word. He sent the Spirit of God to convict us of sin, righteousness, judgment, to convert us and to save us and then to cleanse us and help us to grow and to guide us and to chasten us when we're out of his will. But thank God, listen, to carry us safely to the other side. He said, I believe this. I believe, my dear friend, that he began a good work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God in Ephesians is called the earnest. He's the down payment. He's the seal. And if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The Holy Spirit of God is the down payment on our eternal salvation. I know I'm eternally saved. Why? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in me. That earnest is a down payment. It's a non-returnable, non-revocable down payment. And if I die and go to hell, the Holy Spirit of God have to go to hell. But he's not going to go. Amen. I've been sealed until the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit of God will be with us right on to the very end. He'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. And thank God, my friend, not only my salvation and not only the exaltation of Christ and the resurrection, but my dear friend, there is that wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit of God that was fulfilled. I feel him in my heart. He's led me, he's directed me, he spoke to me, convicted me, and I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today because he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Thank God for the minister of the Holy Spirit of God that he sent to work in our life. Not only do I note from that passage of Scripture, Paul writing about the resurrection, the relevance of it, it's imperative that he was resurrected. Not only did I note the results of it, it's my salvation, my resurrection. It has to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit of God and so many other things. But I want to note to you this morning the rejoicing connected with the resurrection. I, as a pastor, have done hundreds, thousands, literally, of funerals. I've had what they call good funerals and bad funerals. I've preached the funeral for lost people and saved people. I've preached funerals for children and for those who are 95 years old. I've preached them for everybody in between. I've preached people's funeral who lived a good long life. I've preached the funeral of those who died suddenly. I preached the funeral of those who died of natural causes. I preached the funeral of those who died of tragic circumstance and all those types of things and everything in between. I've never, never enjoyed a funeral. Not one. Not one. There's some I could say, thank the Lord, I know they were saved. I know they were to heaven. But I don't enjoy having to walk across the road over there and stand at the graveside of somebody I love and see their family grieve. You don't enjoy that. But can I tell you one thing? There's something about the resurrection that doesn't have a sad note in it. Thank God there's rejoicing in the resurrection. When he was resurrected, they couldn't hardly believe it. But then there's another passage that said that they were overcome with joy. They said they were filled with gladness. When it really dawned on them, this is him, and he is alive. Praise God, there was rejoicing and rejoicing. And my dear friend, there was what I called immediate rejoicing, those in that circumstance. But think about it over all these years. All the saints of all the ages who've ever been saved, and they rejoiced in the fact of the resurrection, and they enjoyed sunrise services like we had here today. And think about the thousands of them around the world today who gathered in sunrise services and rejoiced in the resurrection. And my dear friend, those of us who now, today, in the wonderful singing this morning and the Word of God, rejoice in the resurrection. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd hate to think I had to go through the Christian life without him as being a living Savior. But I rejoice in the fact that he's alive, and because he lives, I live, and I'm going to get to see him and see my loved ones again. There's going to be a resurrection of all those who know Christ that I've had a part in burying and that anybody else has buried. They're coming out of that grave one of these days because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you talking about rejoicing. You talking about a time we rejoice in his resurrection. But think about that time when we rejoice. Go with me to the book of Revelation just real quick. Let's look at this morning. Oh, what a time that's going to be. You say, Brother Bill, I can't hardly wait to see my loved one. Well, you'll see him. You say, well, I know him. Sure you will. The Bible said you'll know even as you're known. You'll see him and know him. Listen, here in our resurrected Lord, he gives this revelation to John here in the book of Revelation. Look in chapter 1. I just call your attention beginning at verse 1 to 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was the Son of Man clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the path with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, as white snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And the voice of many waters. And he that had in right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun light shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet, and he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Thank God for the rejoicing. But now look, go over a little bit further and let me show you the rejoicing I'm talking about. Because he's alive, because he died, and he's alive now, and he's alive forever. Look over in the book of Revelation, and I notice in chapter 5, if you would please, in chapter 5, and said this, and I saw in the right hand him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loosen the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as he had been slain, as if he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had opened the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and having every one his harp and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us to be kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as be in the sea and all that are in them, I heard him saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped and him that liveth forever and ever. All that's because of the resurrection. That's that great crowd. If you go over to chapter 12, he says there's a great crowd there that you can't number. And they're worshiping one who was dead and is alive now forevermore. Listen, I have been blessed all this week. Every time that Jesus come out of the tomb, I shouted. I rejoiced in it. Thank God for it because he's alive. I'm like Miss Kay. I've sung the songs all week in my mind. And then to think about he's alive. But you think about that day. You think about that day when we get to glory. Think about that day when we'll see our loved ones on the other side. That's because of the resurrection. You didn't say goodbye to your wife forever. You didn't say goodbye to your child forever. You didn't say goodbye to your mom and daddy forever. You didn't say goodbye to your loved ones forever. You're going to see them again. Why? Because he's alive. Because he was resurrected, because he saved you and he saved them. Oh, what a time. You talking about resurrection, rejoicing. We just practicing down here. Brad has to pump us up and prime us. But when you've got a brand new body, they'll have to tie you down to keep you from running all over glory. Thanks God. When you realize he's there and when you see him face to face and you get to fellowship with all the saints of all the ages, my dear friend, what a time when you and I get to go to glory. I want you to hear Daddy sing this song. I want you to imagine yourself right where he's at while he sings this song. And we're going to go home here in a few minutes. But thank God. Listen, I'm glad he's alive. You're glad he's alive? Say amen. Amen. If you don't know him as your Savior this morning, you can. I want you to hear this song. My dear friend, listen, imagine what it's going to be like in that day. Amen.